And now
it's 10 a.m.
Let's just get down to it.
And it's time for your sports fix.
Strap yourselves in, folks.
From two guys who have covered the teams you're passionate about for years.
We are professionals.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson, thank you for making us a part of your day. What's going on over there, Ben?
Opening day, brother.
Got your White Sox hat on.
Yes, sir.
Is that optimism, or is that the last time we're going to see that hat? Are you?
No.
Oh, Sarah, we should obviously be jeering Ben for wearing a hat not at a Chicago White Sox game.
Correct. I'm not actively at a White Sox game.
I mean, Ben,
how dare you?
Ben holds it against the whole state of Florida that some fan at a Rays game gave him the business for wearing a White Sox hat to a game the White Sox weren't playing in.
Sure.
And that offended you so greatly.
Oh, well, he thought it was annoying.
You hold on to it to this day.
The night the worst player in Major League Baseball history pitched a no-hitter. I should say the worst, or a perfect game. The worst pitcher ever to pitch a perfect game.
Yeah, that's a lot different, though, than worst player in Major League Baseball history, because that would be...
You're no longer the worst player in baseball history if you've pitched a perfect game.
Yeah, I would say.
Right.
So. And who was that?
I got to pull it up. I don't remember his name. He was that bad. He was such a non... He was like a former number one overall pick. So the potential was there. He just never developed the stuff consistently.
Bernard Frankowski.
Maybe one day I'll get the internet to work here.
Oh, no. That's too much to be...
It's my fault. It's
but
not
you were
the,
there at a perfect game?
I was at the Tampa Bay Rays game while on the other side of the country, the White Sox were pitching a perfect game.
I see.
So the guy who heckled me for wearing the White Sox hat, I yelled back to him, "Did you see the game tonight?"
Good comeback.
Well, when he had to look it up, he realized, oh, well, maybe me as a Rays fan doesn't have anything to celebrate against the White Sox who were throwing a perfect game that night.
This did offend you. I think people should be yelled at for wearing apparel to a game like, I don't know, what did I see yesterday? I saw somebody with like a T-Wolves jersey on at the Jazz game. Now, if it's a little kid, that obviously, you know, wear whatever you want. But if it's like an adult... Yeah, you should yell at that guy.
You think so?
I think it's fair game.
Go after him.
That team's not playing, bro.
No, that's fine. Philip Humber.
Philip Humber. Oh, Phil. Phil Humber.
Phil Humber. He was the...
Yeah, Phil was a flamethrower.
I can't even find the draft now. Anyways, a bum.
With a perfect game.
The only career highlight he has, like on his Wikipedia page, is that he threw a perfect game.
Well, yeah. And that's better than, what, 99.999.
I mean, there's been like fewer than 30 perfect games ever. He's got one of them. They play every team plays 160 games nonstop.
Quit bagging on Phil.
He was a first-round pick, third overall selection.
Your standards are just unbelievably high.
Yeah, well, I hold myself to a... high regard.
Hey, why don't you go out there and do something with your life? I threw a perfect game, and what else?
Yeah.
Well, it was in a Major League Baseball game. It wasn't like Little League or something. It was like, it was the bigs. I was throwing for the White Sox. What else?
Actually, to be fair, I think there was a very controversial call at the end. Like, there was a very clear, it was either catcher's interference, which I think actually was one of the calls, and then another one was where the guy thought it was a wild pitch that should have broken up the no-hitter or the perfect game. The umpire didn't call it, and so the ball went to the backstop, and the guy just thought, like, okay, well, that's clearly a ball or whatever, and they said, no, you swung at it. That's a, you know, you can throw that ball to first base. You need to run to first base. and they threw it to first base and the guy didn't run. And I think that's even how the game ended. Like, it was a total joke. It was a mess of a game. And the opposite of when that Galarraga guy got the perfect game robbed from him.
Oh, when the umpire apologized?
Yeah. It was the opposite. This kid didn't earn the perfect game.
Well, then your sick burn wasn't so sick.
Well, I mean,
in response to the guy.
In the history books, it's a perfect game.
Oh, man, I remember when that umpire came out and, like, was emotional and apologized. If I were that pitcher, I'd be like, you at least give me the benefit of thinking that you believe you did it right. Don't apologize.
Yeah,
I don't
want to
hear.
No,
what do you mean?
You're not the last 2 minute report.
Yes.
What value does it have to me?
None. Zero. The last 2 minute report, I've been complaining about this for years, is a joke.
Yep.
Don't what? Are you going to go back and change the game? You can go back and replay the last 2 minutes? No, right. You're not going to do any of that. All it does is confirm that your referees are morons.
Yep. And like a very easy call.
I bet the referees hate that. Fans should hate that. Yep. Everybody should hate that.
Yep.
Just let them smugly, like Dick Pavetta, be like, no, I got it right.
I got it right. We don't think so.
We don't think so, but at least, like, we believe that you believe.
Yeah, right.
You got it right.
Correct.
Like showing some pride in your job to get it done or whatever. I got it right. Come on.
Yep.
No, I don't want to hear the apology, umpire.
So, yes, I'm excited for opening day.
You shouldn't be.
I don't know who the White Sox are playing. Probably the Tigers or something terrible. They're going to lose 110 games.
Are the Tigers bad again?
Yeah. I think they're the worst team in the AL Central.
It's funny, these historically terrible Major League Baseball teams, or at least when from my youth, you know, had these random blips of being good, and then now apparently have gone back to being terrible. Like the Tigers, for instance.
Yeah.
Or when they had Verlander back in that run.
Cabrera. Yep.
Who's still playing, isn't he?
I think that was his last year.
Was it?
This last season.
The Royals, though?
Right. They won a World Series, right?
The Royals were so bad for so long. It was like George Brett and then a dearth of winning any baseball games, and then they win a World Series.
It's the curse of me buying a White Sox hat in 2004.
Rough.
And them winning the World Series that year and me thinking like, oh, they win every year because it was my first year as a baseball fan. A couple of things fell into place. I randomly picked the White Sox. I had the hat. They won a series, and they have been awful since.
Can I tell you, and I'm just going to tell you this story really to compliment somebody else, but I went to a Chicago White Sox game in 2005, the year after they won the World Series, watched who is their flame-throwing closer? Bobby Jenks?
Yeah. Big Bobby Jenks.
Bobby Jenks?
Yep.
So I was going with a group of friends, Ben. We were going to a wedding in Dayton, Ohio, and we were driving. And so we were going to go through. It was super fun. We did like Yellowstone and Mount Rushmore and stopped in Chicago on our way. And before, I called my guy, Steve Klauke.
Oh, okay.
Because Steve is a Chicago guy. He's a huge White Sox fan. And I thought a baseball dude like Steve, probably pretty dialed in on some ticks, you know? So I called Steve. I said, Steve, you got a line on some good tickets? You know, we'll pay for them or whatever. But, you know, just wondering if you can do a little something. He's like, oh, yeah, I'll get it taken care of. And I was like, oh, I've talked to Steve, said it's done, whatever. That last I talked to him before we pulled up in a rented minivan to the game. And, dude, Ben... They rolled out the red carpet for me and my bozo friends. We had like seats on like the fourth row right behind home plate. We had somebody come out to greet us when we went to pick up our tickets at Will Call.
Steve's a legend.
Oh, dude.
Steve's the best.
Shout out to Steve. I would have thought I was some visiting emissary or something like that. It was like the best baseball experience I've ever had. I don't know, Dexter Fowler getting me box seats to the
it's not bad.
Dodger game was a pretty good story.
Not bad.
But that wasn't because of me. That was because of my beloved wife.
Yeah.
And the wonderful Persian community of Utah.
Good to have some hookups.
Yeah, I told you that story too, where we were cheering for Dexter Fowler every time he came to the plate, and these Dodger fans turn around and give us a weird look, and it's like, what do you want? These are his tickets. These are his tickets.
Yeah.
Like, we're not obnoxiously cheering for the team the whole game,
right.
But we're cheering for that guy.
When Fowler comes out.
And the Dodger fans were like, all right, yeah, that makes some sense, and turned back around.
I don't think I've ever met a Major League Baseball player. I met some pro hockey players through the Grizzlies. I met, obviously, NBA, a lot of NFL players.
Oh, Dexter Fowler came in studio once.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Well, I've met Dale Murphy a bunch of times.
I've seen Dale Murphy. I don't know if I've ever, like, talked to him. So that makes sense.
I feel like I say this a lot, but maybe the nicest man on the
planet. Yeah, absolutely. That's why there's, like, a real contingent of people wanting him in the Hall of Fame. Oh. On top of his Hall of Fame-worthy career, that he's a good guy, and you should celebrate the good guys.
Dude, he's amazing. And, you know, I've done some, like, public appearances or where he's the one doing the appearing. We're there to promote it, right? And he's so good with fans. He's so nice.
Oh, you know
it's,
what?
It's like, just like Thurl, like we talked about yesterday. I mean, just like a genuinely, like, warm person.
I met Johnny Bench, so I have met a Major
League
Hall of Famer. Yeah.
That's a big
greatest
one.
Greatest catcher of all time. Yeah. One of.
You and your grand pronouncements, really? I mean,
it's like here, Yogi Berra, right?
Pudge Rodriguez on line 5. Somewhere Mike Piazza just smashed a plate.
Yeah, okay, Mike Piazza. Yeah.
Sarah, have you ever met a Major League Baseball player?
I don't think so.
Did you guys have weird celebs come through when you were working at the NFL?
Yeah, but they were mostly NFL players, like former players or current players that are at the end of their career looking to, you know, be in the media.
Now, let me ask you this, because I think you're kind of like me where you don't really get intimidated by celebrity or Twitter-pated or anything like that. I think people don't kind of understand sometimes with the biz, you're working, you've got your head down. It's actually inappropriate to, like, fan out. But I'm curious if you met or saw any player or celebrity where you were tempted to be like, oh, I could fan out right now.
Not really, because I feel like because I didn't grow up watching the NFL, like, I recognize that they're NFL players, but I don't know specifically
who
are. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Did anybody wow you?
So, not like really. I thought it was kind of cool, like, Kyle Van Noy was looking into stuff, so he was there, and I knew Van Noy was, but, like, I wasn't, like, starstruck by Kyle Van Noy.
I love it that the world's, this is what I love about Sarah, that the world's greatest athletes playing the most popular sport are completely unimpressive to her.
Well, like, I'm not saying that's not impressive.
Hey, you know what? That is also the most valuable person to have at these types of jobs.
Oh, totally.
You have to
have that are going to be professional and
who
all
works.
That.
It's just like, you're just a person. Because the truth is, they are. Now, there are divos and there are guys who want to be celebrated, et cetera. And some of them you have to and some of them you don't have to. But the person who doesn't treat them like they are God's gift is a really valuable person to have in every single organization.
I am being genuine about liking this trait about Sarah. It's a trait I like about my very own wife, who once told Miss America to pound sand.
Hit the road.
No pass, no entry, Miss America.
Yeah, and I do feel like it benefited me because there's times where we're on set for shows and we're supposed to, like, interact with the talent and, like, tell them what's coming up next and where they're going to be on the set and things like that. And a lot of the people, like, in my position were, like, afraid to go up to them. So they just, like, would let the higher-ups do it.
Yeah.
And I didn't think anything of it. So I was, like, walking up and talking to them. And they're like, you're the first person that's actually interacted with us.
See, look at you.
So I was like, well, it's because I don't really know who you are.
This is Tom Brady. Excuse me.
Mr. Bradley.
Mr. Brady. One more time, I apologize.
Speaking of which, did you see, and as long as we're totally doing a random first segment, did you see Sage Steele interviewing Dana White and called him Joe Rogan? Oh, man.
Yeah, that's brutal. And nice of Dana to not. I mean, he teased her for it, but
if we could,
he didn't get up and walk out.
Oh, no, we need to find an old sound clip. If Lloyd's around, maybe he could help us find this. Because have you ever heard the, like, L.A. morning TV, you know, that genre, interviewing Samuel L. Jackson, but thinking thinking he's Lawrence Fishburne?
Oh, which is funny, yeah.
And Jackson will not let him off the hook. It goes on for like 2 minutes.
This is awkward.
Of him cracking jokes about, he's like, I'm the Capital One guy.
Yeah.
He's the, I can't even remember what.
Yeah, what his bank or whatever was.
Whatever his endorsement was. So funny.
Brutal.
Oh, man. So funny. Did you find it? You haven't heard that? This is classic. Sarah's got it queued up. All right, hit it.
I tell you what, working for Marvel, the Super Bowl commercial, did you get a lot of reaction to that Super Bowl commercial?
What Super Bowl commercial?
Oh, you know what? My mistake.
You're as crazy as the people on Twitter.
Right.
I'm not Lawrence Fishburne.
That's my fault. Oh, I know boy. That. That was my fault. My mistake. You know what?
We don't all look alike.
Father, you're exactly right.
We may be
right.
All black and famous, you but are we all
guilty.
Don't look alike.
I am guilty.
Next question.
I am guilty.
He thought you were Bob Dylan.
Right.
Oh, it goes on, too. It goes on.
Yeah, it's like 2 minutes long, but I think that was enough pain.
Dude.
To be fair, this happened to all the Jazz writers. Not this year's media day, but last year's media day, when Leandro Balmaro, who only played for a little bit, was in the Rudy Gobert trade, and Simone Fontecchio both signed with the team in the offseason, and we hadn't really ever seen them, and they kind of look alike. And Leandro came in, and I think everyone was asking him questions about, like, Italy, or, like, kind of trying to figure out, like...
Yeah.
Because I don't even know if he had a jersey on, so there wasn't even, like, a way to tell, like...
And nobody introduced him?
And nobody introduced him.
They just sat him down?
And, like, the nice thing was we were kind of just asking, like, European questions.
Uh-huh.
And he was good about it.
That's a big continent.
But it took, like, well, yeah, totally different countries. Speak different languages. Leandro Balmaro's Spanish. Simone was Italian.
Different.
And it was, like, three
connected
questions
by,
in.
Romantic
it
languages.
Was three questions in before everyone was like, oh, this is Leandro. This isn't the guy they signed.
It's happened to be a Pac-12 media day. I like where they give you the list of players. And, well, I don't know if this is the tight end or the linebacker. Yep. Let's go with the linebacker. Wrong?
Offense or defense?
Okay.
Yeah, right. I mean, they can wear the same number. You know what I mean?
I did it with a few guys that came on for BYU TV for, like, game day. I was on set, and I was supposed to bring them on, and I mixed up the two of them.
Yeah. My guy Gordon, the legend, the godfather, was once interviewing Zane...
Beatles,
but thought it was Zane Taylor. Now, that's an easy one because they're on the same offensive line, and they're both named Zane.
Yeah.
Real quick, this is a good way to start the show. That's funny. Okay, we did play the best part where he's talking about, no, I'm the Capital One guy.
And there are obvious racial implications, and the guy who was interviewing him obviously was a white guy. That is very...
But
awkward.
Samuel L. just drags it on. So funny. All right. Andrew, real quick here, brings up a good point. We were talking about Ben wearing a White Sox hat to a Rays game. Andrew says, what about wearing band tees to other concerts, like a Metallica t-shirt to a Kenny Chesney concert? I think that's a little weird. All right.
That's the thing. This is a cultural conversation.
I think it has, like, if you wear a Grateful Dead t-shirt to a Fish show, well, yeah. They're in the same, like,
jam
genre.
Band guy.
Like, Metallica to Kenny Chesney, yes, would make no sense. But what about I don't know country bands. What about Black Sabbath t-shirt to a Metallica concert?
Okay. Yeah,
I think that's fine, right.
I'm with you. You're in the same thing. Now, if you're all geared out in Metallica gear and you're going to a Pantera show, okay, that might be a little weird. Like, if you got the hat and the shirt, like, you think you're going to a Metallica. Right. But I'm with you. If it has even, like, slight connections, I think it's fine, which is why I think it's fine to wear a baseball hat to a baseball game even if the two teams aren't playing.
Nope, totally different.
If you're geared out... in a White Sox jersey and a White Sox hat, and you're going to a non-White Sox game, that's goofy. But a baseball hat to a baseball game is apropos. It's Major League
Except for there's competition involved. If Fish was fist-fighting the Grateful Dead on stage, then maybe it would be a comparable thing. But sports is a competition. You can't be both a White Sox fan and a Rays fan.
Rays fan. I was going to take it in as a White Sox fan, casually enjoying baseball.
Well, you ain't in Chicago, pal.
I get to wear it.
Gear up or find a different hat.
Disagree. Strongly.
Or at least have the guts to represent the other team.
I think they're playing the Twins.
All right, stay tuned.
A couple of times.
Jake and Ben, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
down the biggest stories of the day. This is the top three stories of the day on KSLSports.com. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Penn, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Time for the top three stories of the day at KSLSports.com. Brought to you by Jay Brooks Jewelers. Two locations to serve you, one on Winchester Street across from Fash Place Mall, the other at Traverse Mountain in Lehigh. All right, Sarah, where are we starting today?
Number one, the Jazz get yet another loss.
This was an impressive one. Losing to the Spurs at home is difficult. But they managed away, played 12 guys in the first quarter, came out extremely flat, won the second, third, and fourth quarters, but had dug such a major hole by being down 29-15 after one that the shocker, they didn't win. And I don't know if they're going to win another game this season.
They could lose out. We were talking to Sue Kelly in the hallway, who, of course, does a show over on the Arrow, and she likes to be up to date on her sports in case she brings it up. So we were talking to her about the Jazz, and she's bummed. She's a Jazz fan.
Yep. Oh, I had our PR person, who it's always scary when PR calls you aside, or HR, excuse me, PR, I'm thinking sports.
Oh, you got pulled aside by HR?
By HR.
After our big...
Before the big thing? Before our big meeting that we had, which was a fine meeting. No one's in trouble.
Did you wet your pants?
I
might have.
Uh-oh. And Beth said, hey, Ben. I was like, oh, here it comes. She's like, when are the Jazz going to be good again? I was like,
okay, all right.
Beth, never. No. You had me scared there. No, the Jazz are never going to be good. No. Yeah. I said, I think next year they're going to probably try and win some games. I don't think they're all that interested in this anymore.
But if Golden State's out of it at the end of the season, who knows who they're going to play? I mean, I don't think you can count out and just say that the Jazz are going to lose out.
You're right. By the last game of the season,
who knows?
There's a chance that Golden State is not in a race for... Even the 10th seed, they're a game ahead of the Houston Rockets.
There's like a bunch of stuff that we might not foresee with you look at it on paper and the Jazz schedule looks daunting. I get it because they're like all playoff teams. But you don't know if they're going to be trying to jockey for seeding or what exactly the motivation is going to be. If I were Denver, I'd stop playing my guys now.
Yeah. Give Jokic all the rest in the world. I know the one seed would be helpful, but you're going to win whoever. Yeah. You're going to beat whoever. So just maybe not the Suns, apparently. They can't beat the Suns. But, yeah, just figure out whatever your first round matchup is, or don't.
And just mail it in.
Make sure Jamal Murray's healthy and
right.
Jokic is healthy. And
so you never know.
You're right. And the Clippers, the second-to-last game of the season, they might also be in a spot where they're like, hey, we're sitting in.
We'd rather play Minnesota or something.
Yeah, we're sitting
in
fourth.
Which they do every year.
Or fifth. We'd rather actually be in sixth than play, you know, this
is what I've always told you when you say, what are they going to go for the rest of this game? It's like, it's impossible to predict that. Absolutely impossible to predict that. But yeah, their schedule, they're playing all playoff teams. Yeah, it's going to be, they're going to lose a bunch.
3-18 in their last 21 games. Brutal stretch. And,
well, yeah.
Yeah, 9 games left on the season. Not favored in any one of them.
Yeah, but the Jazz beat San Antonio if they don't forget how to play basketball for a quarter.
Or choose not to.
Well, I honestly don't think they're losing any of these games on purpose from a player/coaching down standpoint. You know what I mean?
I definitely say like from the player standpoint, you're right.
The coach and the players, I think, are trying to win. Like, from that line of management or that line in the pecking order down,
okay. Like
Adam Klauke's going out there and trying to win every night.
Sure he is.
He's
putting the shoes away,
putting together
washing the clothes.
A fantastic locker room for that team to go out and have its best chance to win. I think I believe that. And listening to Will Hardy in post games and to a lesser extent the players, because it feels like our access to the players is
dwindling
rapidly. But I believe they're trying to win. Now, the rest of the franchise, I think they're intentionally trying to lose.
Mm-hmm.
So, but no, I don't think they went out and tanked the game in the first quarter so they could ensure a loss. I don't think that's a thing. Do you?
I do think the rotations are not designed to win games.
Well, I thought the 11 players in the first quarter was not intentionally trying to lose. I thought it was a message being sent.
Sure. Maybe, yeah.
Why not?
I don't know.
Because let's look at it this way, Ben. Winning isn't of a premium. Got it. So you can send messages.
You can, yeah. It's like Kyra Lewis is going
to
play.
So that isn't trying to lose. That's trying to manage your locker room.
Sure. It's not trying to win, but it's trying to manage your locker room and just say, hey, if you want to play, whether you're playing to win or not, if you want to play, you got to play the right way.
If the Jazz are battling for the fourth seed, he's not going to play 11 players in the first quarter to send a message.
Correct.
He's going to find a different way to send that message. But yeah, if winning's not at a premium and it's the first quarter of a game against the Spurs, well, send a message. Knock yourself out.
Jazz officially eliminated from the playoffs with the loss last night, and they are now just a game ahead of the Brooklyn Nets in the standings. Brooklyn beat the Wizards in overtime. So the Jazz have 29 wins. Brooklyn has 28 wins. So there is a real chance, I think, before the end of the year, especially if the Jazz lose out, that they either tie Brooklyn or get jumped by Brooklyn in the standings. The Jazz would move up to the eighth pick in the draft. Eighth best odds of winning the lottery, which jumps from about 20% to 26%. So 1 in 5 to 1 in 4. Not insignificant. And that's the goal.
Yes, insignificant. That's why the race for lottery balls is stupid. But I get you. Sure.
1 in 4 is better than 1 in 5.
But that's not what we're talking about here.
That's what I'm talking about.
You said what? The difference between 21 and 26?
20 and 26.
Yeah.
20% is 1 in 5. 26% is better than 1 in 4. So that's what they're trying to get to.
Okay.
But I'm just telling you what's going on. I'm not advertising. I'm not selling tickets. I'm just telling you what the Jazz are doing.
Yeah, but like this much effort simply for a few percentage points is foolish. But I understand that there is a difference. Thank you. I do get that. Next.
Number 2, the Utes are headed to the NIT semifinals.
Good for them. And cruised. They really looked good last night. Maybe one of their best performances of the season. And at this point, I think teams in the NIT are trying, right? Like,
I don't know. That was my initial thought, is like the South Park baseball episode
VCU
where they're just trying to lose.
Loses 74-54. Yeah, I guess, was VCU just accidentally better than the first two teams they played? Maybe.
Probably.
Yeah.
It is the NIT after all.
Their leading scorer at VCU, Sean Bairstow, had a whopping 13 points last night. 13! But good games from a couple of
years. And a blistering
players.
6 of 14 shooting, and 0 of 4 from 3.
Gabe Madsen continues to shoot the ball well, as he has recently for the Utes, 18 points. Brandon Carlson, 17 points in his final game ever at the Huntsman Center. And then Davon Smith sets the all-time record for Pac-12 triple-doubles in a single season with 5, beating Jason Kidd, which is a hilarious thing considering he didn't start playing until like 2 days after Christmas or something like that, and he set the triple-double.
Now, Utah really wants to be there and is playing hard. And Kepakeda had his best game in a while. Did you watch much of this though? And Ben, I don't blame you if you did not. And we had the benefit of having both monitors in studio, so I did watch most of this game. And either Ryan Odom poisoned his team before the game, or that team was trying to lose, because Utah dominated VCU, and if that team was trying, then they're the worst team in the country. So I think it's cool Utah's going to the Final Four. I think it's cool that they're playing well, and that this group, which is not going to be together next year, is playing more basketball.
Can they win on the road?
No.
Probably not.
But they are playing, and this is unfortunate. This is basically a home game, because you go to Indiana, which is where the—
And play Indiana State.
And they have to play Indiana State and play the guy that they call Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
In Indianapolis, yeah.
The big goofy guy, Robbie Avila.
It's probably going to be rough.
We'll see.
But
be fun. Good for the Utes.
But VCU was—
They made it to the Final Four.
VCU was barely a basketball
team. Who's on the other side of the bracket? Can I pull that up really quickly? Utah-Indiana State, as we mentioned— And then the other side of the men's bracket in the NIT is going to be Georgia Seton Hall.
I was talking to Tim about this. Sarah and I were talking about cool logos. Seton Hall may have my favorite college logo.
Okay.
That blue pirate with the bandana.
Yep.
Pretty rad.
Great.
All right. What's next?
Number 3, a Utah State guard enters the transfer portal.
Big one. Mason Falslev. That's a huge deal.
Yeah. He probably— It's interesting. The first question that came to my mind is, why didn't he do this when Odom left? And the answer, I think, was he didn't have tape.
Sure.
He's got tape now. He's got people banging down his doors and doesn't have to be loyal to anybody. He has that luxury. And he really never has, because he was a Duryea recruit before he went on his mission and then redshirted with Odom. I think maybe he was— Coach Smith.
But he had committed to Utah coming out of high school.
Right. And then went to Utah State.
So we will see. Does he want to go back to Utah?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he probably has 330 offers.
Yeah, it's probably going to make some dough. Probably could go to Seattle.
Could go up to play for Washington. Baylor has come and tried to get a lot of local kids as transfers. I would keep an eye on that type of thing. So good for him. I hope he goes and makes some cash. He was a good player this year.
I don't. I'd rather you stay at Utah State.
Make cash at Utah State then. Also tonight, thoughts? Do you want to finish your thought? I interrupted you.
No, but why me as the sports fan do I have to feel good for all these players when they leave? I don't understand.
I'm telling you,
that.
Let's start our Cash Money Millionaires, Cash Valley Money Millionaires, NIL for Utah State.
I'm telling you, like when my friends' sports teams have success, I don't feel good for them. I don't care.
Yeah, because you've got no soul. Tonight, NCAA tournament back in action. Clemson at Arizona, San Diego State, UConn, Bama, North Carolina, Illinois, Iowa State. Those games kick off at 5:09.
Tomorrow's the much more interesting day.
Yeah, but I'm excited to see if San Diego State can do anything to UConn. Clemson's gotten further than I expected. North Carolina's best test so far. And Illinois, Iowa State's a very good game tonight. So good to have some college basketball back.
Man, I hope that UConn loses.
We just talked about how you're rooting against
your
friends.
Aztecs. What do you mean? I'm rooting for my friends. Thank you very much. A win for San Diego State would make me feel so good for David James. I mean, he's just been waiting for a win like this for a whole year. I mean, I just feel so good for him personally. Do you realize how foolish that sounds?
No, but do you realize it's equally foolish to be like, man, I hope my friends feel pain because their sports team loses? That's the exact same thing you're saying, except for it's cruel. Instead of I hope they get a smile on their face, you're saying I hope they feel bad for the night.
But here's the thing. I'm not saying that I hope they crash their car or I hope they're bankrupted.
Regardless, it hurts.
It's not the same level of hurt.
Regardless, it hurts.
It's not the same thing. That is exactly my point. Whether your sports team wins or loses, your life will go on. It's not a tragedy when they lose, and it's not it's not a blessing when they win.
It feels good when your teams win. It makes you feel better. It makes life a little easier. And we're all just trying to make life a little easier. And you don't want it to be that way for anybody.
I don't have to root for your life to be a little easier with something that is not tangible. I mean, I'll root for your life.
It's tangible in the sense that it makes you happy. It makes you happy. That's tangible.
Yeah, Ben, you know what? A premium cup of coffee makes you happy, and I'm not going to root for you to get some cup of coffee on the way home.
When you buy
it is. I'm indifferent about it.
When you buy coffee, I would rather you have a good cup of coffee, and I don't get the sick joy you get when you get crappy bean water.
But see,
when you buy coffee thinking, oh, I spent $6 on this cup of Joe, and it tastes awful, and you're like, they made it wrong, I'm not like, we got Jake finally.
You understand that coffee is a tangible, real
You're
thing.
You're thinking about something you can actually put your hands on?
Like, that actually does improve or at least affect your life. Whether your team loses,
it has
nothing to do with you.
It's the same burst. It's the same endorphin rush. It's literally the same endorphin rush that goes to your brain.
I don't have to root for you to get an endorphin rush. And yes, I can root against that endorphin rush. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, it's so offensive. How dare I root
that? No, it's not offensive. It's just cruel. It's just an unnecessary cruelty.
It doesn't matter. It'd be cruel if I were...
Clearly it matters. Your and I's entire careers are based on it mattering. It clearly matters.
No, not true. Our career is based on the entertainment it provides. But it's just that. It's entertainment. And
if it
was
all torture, nobody would watch.
And if you... No, the torture is absolutely part of the...
It's part of it.
It's part of the appeal.
Because the good feels so good that the bad also feels bad.
It's
apathy would be the worst thing.
It's kind of like a drug.
It is a drug.
Oh, exactly. I'm not rooting for you to get high after the show.
I am.
I'm not thinking, oh, I feel so good for Ben. We can't go down that road. We're going to get fired. All right, stay tuned. That was three, right? More next. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Yeah, I don't like fun. I don't like happiness.
The sports you love. The teams you can't live without.
You have sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Ah!
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone 50 segment brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology on doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. Let's give away some tickets, Ben. Let's send folks to see RSL. Caller number 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. We're hooking you up with a pair of tickets to go see RSL take on St. Louis City SC on March 30th at America First Field. Caller 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. Ben, I know we have some news to get to, but I just saw this real quick. This blows my mind. Nevada casinos won $1.34 billion from gamblers in February.
In February, you say last year.
Okay. No, 8.5% more than last February and now an all-time record for the month. That is incredible. Not $1.34 million, billion, excuse me, with a B, gambled, but won.
Yeah.
By casinos. That's incredible. And that's just in Nevada. Think about now all, I mean, how gambling can become a problem is if that's just in Nevada, now with sports gambling legal all over the place. I mean, how much money are we talking about here?
I don't gamble. I haven't gambled ever outside of a few little, like, you know, $5, $10 things here in my life. But I've never placed a bet.
You've never done the 21 in Dover?
No, I haven't. In fact, I went on a cruise ship one time, and I think I lost like $15 playing blackjack. And at the time, that was the most money I'd ever seen in my life.
Oh, man, I like playing 21.
So
we need to get you to Dover, buddy.
So I don't play. So I don't gamble. I don't like losing money. And because I don't take part in it, I don't think I've recognized. I actually listened to a podcast yesterday on what's going on with Jontay Porter and the Toronto Raptors and how serious this is and kind of how they track it and how easy it is to catch you if you're doing this type of thing and where these bets are being placed, because they're all geolocated apparently now. And the difference is, you know, your parents, I'm not accusing your parents of being gamblers or whatever, we kind of think of I'm going to put $10 on a game and the over-under is set at this, and then I'll watch the game. It's like, no, you can bet possession to possession now all the time. It's just like, it's so easy to get so deep in it so quickly. I'm not going to touch it. I'm just too scared that it could be a problem. You know what I mean? And I get why Vegas would win $1 billion in a month. They're not losing.
In a month.
They're not losing.
Yeah, but if you think about it, they do the math so that their margins are that they win.
1%.
Yeah, it's like 1 or 2%. So I mean, if their take is 1.34 billion or whatever,
that means 100 billion is bet.
Yeah,
they take 51, you take 49, and they're feeling really good about themselves.
Yeah, and that's how Vegas is built.
Yeah,
we've got Locke coming up next, but real quick, Ben, just to catch up, folks, we talked about this the other day. The Minnesota Timberwolves were being sold to an ownership group starring Mark Lowry and Alex Rodriguez. They were going to buy 60% of the franchise from the now controlling owner, Glenn Taylor. Last week, or was it a couple of days ago? Last week, they lost, that is, Lowry and Rodriguez lost an investor.
It was only like $300 million, but whatever it was.
And now Glenn Taylor is using that as an excuse to not sell, said they didn't come up with the money in time.
You didn't meet your contractual needs of when you needed to buy it. I'm not selling you the controlling interest anymore. So Glenn Taylor, who is an awful owner and
awful.
Cheap and has been one of the worst owners in sports, which is why the Timberwolves had that long run. I mean, the Timberwolves have one season in their history of winning a playoff series.
Yeah.
They've had one season where they've won a playoff series in their history.
And I'm pretty sure Latrell Sprewell was on that team.
Sam Cassell, KG. Right.
Put that into perspective for you. That was a while ago.
And Glenn Taylor, it seems like, at least for now, is going to stay the controlling owner, which this is a tax team that's going to hit the second apron. And it's like, you know, $4 to every dollar once you're over the second apron. He's not going to pay it. Well, if you're a Jazz fan today because you own all the Minnesota Timberwolves future first round draft picks, you're celebrating. Glenn Taylor being a bad owner is good for the Utah Jazz. We'll have to talk to Locke about
that.
And
I have no idea if Lowry was going to be a good owner, but odds are he was going to be better than Glenn Taylor.
Hard to be worse.
Here's the statement from the spokesperson on behalf of the Rodriguez-Lowry team. Quote, "We are disappointed with Glenn Taylor's public statement today. We have fulfilled our obligations, have all necessary funding, and are fully committed to closing our purchase of the team as soon as the NBA completes its approval process. Glenn Taylor's statement is an unfortunate case of seller's remorse. that is short-sighted and disruptive to the team and the fans during a historic winning season, unquote. So it sounds like they're still going for it.
Yeah, I this is not done yet, but we will see how close they can get to figuring this thing out.
It's hard to force somebody to sell something.
And if they didn't meet the requirements, he probably doesn't have to abide by it.
Lock is next, 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone.